This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Fiona Deering from Melbourne, Australia. And you are listening to a special Australian edition of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 1, episode 1268. Today's episode is brought to you by Remote Coach and Bitbank Australia. Good morning, Horse World.
So this is Anything Can Happen Thursday.
Everyone has a place. They're not just horses, they're part of my family.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by. Of course, this is Fiona's Day. This is Australian Day.
It is. Welcome, everyone.
It's the first Thursday of every month. Fiona did her first episode last month. If you missed it, you can hop over to horsesinthemorning.com and take a listen. Do you have them on your website, too? Or
I do. I've put a link up on the Remote Coach website, and I'll have to actually double-check that there's a link to the episode. But there's definitely a link to the Horses in the Morning webpage on there.
Okay, very good. And we're talking all things Australia here once a month, which is terrific because we have a ton of Australian listeners. There have been a lot of them over the last month that have been downloading the app. I don't know if that's coming from you or what's happening, but
of course it's coming from me.
We're happy about that. Thank you very much.
No, it's been great. And lots of New Zealand listeners as well. We've got to remember our friends over the ditch.
You know, for us up here, we kind of lump you two together. And I know I get in trouble for that. Because for you, you know, for us, New Zealand, Australia is kind of like one place down there. You know, that's how we kind of look at it.
Yeah, I don't know that our New Zealand friends would lump themselves in with us, but we'll run with it.
As a matter of fact, when I do statistics, we do lump them in together, and I probably shouldn't, but it makes you look bigger, the two of you.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, we do have a fun show planned for you today. We're going to be talking a little bit about the living legends from the racing world, what happens to the retired champion racehorses down there. And then also, we're going to be getting a little musical, aren't we?
We sure are, and a little New Zealand. My friend Ali Cook's going to be on the radio with her new single.
That sounds good. She's a horse girl, too, and a singer, and kind of your version of Templeton Thompson for us.
She's a powerhouse. Every time I look at her Facebook page, I'm like, slow down, Allie.
Well, that'll be fun. We can talk about that, and we'll be chatting with her a little bit later on. And then we have some other things planned for you today as well, so we hope you enjoy this episode. Well, my Daily Whinny today goes out to everybody who was so kind to us yesterday at Disney World for making it happen, Robin and the gang over there. We had a great time, and it was so much fun to be at Disney World. So thank you to everybody there, and it was kind of a little dream come true of mine. So we really, really do appreciate everything they did for us. And also, we want to remind everybody, yesterday was International Podcast Day, but we're kind of making an International Podcast Week. So please post on your Facebook or your Twitter, or I don't care, Pinterest, wherever you post, that you listen to podcasts, and please put a link to the ones you listen to and encourage your friends and family to start listening to podcasts as well. 33% of the Americans have tried a podcast, so we have another, 67% to go. So help us get the word out. You love them. Maybe your friends will too. Thank you so much for that.
My Daily Whinny today is going to be a little bit self-indulgent. I need to send out the biggest thanks to my amazing friend, Beck Jackson. Beck has been working in the background helping me release a new product and making everything look amazing and making me look way better because I have no idea of technical things. And she also saved my bacon big time during a webinar last week where, you know, I was probably about to have a heart attack and or a nervous breakdown live on the webinar, which, you know, could have had its own features, I guess, but she was right there making it all happen in the background. And, you know, these when we launch a new product, I'm not just saying it, you know, can't happen without her. It just wouldn't be happening without her. So thank you so much, Becky. I love you to pieces.
We all need that person in our lives.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, my name's Glenda Geek, but, you know, I'm a okay geek. But I have John the Geek in my life, who is a real geek. All the Microsoft certifications and all that stuff. So when I run into serious trouble, I have to call John and he helps out. So all of us have that. We all have
that.
Yeah.
Well, Becky's just amazing. And, you know, she just keeps sending me stuff through going, we're going to do this now. I'm like, okay. and then I turn around and it looks fantastic. And she makes me look way better than what I am.
Well, now, before we go on with the show, we have to talk about something, the big Australian news here, and that is there was a new seven-figure baby born.
There sure was. Black Caviar had her second foal. So it would be about a week ago now, and it's a colt to the stallion Sabring, and he's pretty cute. big white face.
Yes, and Black Caviar does not, right?
No, not a white hair on her, I don't think. So Sabring is by an American stallion, More Than Ready. And, it'll be interesting to see in
What's happened? Do you know what the status is of her first baby?
I think, it would be a yearling now. Yeah. So whether it appears in, because that was a filly, I think, whether that appears in yearling sales or the connections choose to run her on themselves, I'm not quite sure. But she's out in a paddock growing, I'm guessing.
And we'll remind the two people who've been living under a rock that Black Caviar was one of the winningest horses with 25 career starts and undefeated in 25
Absolutely.
Career starts. So, yeah, it was really a super horse.
Friends and I actually went and saw her one night. We'd been down at our big young horse dressage and jumping show for a few days, and we decided that we'd make the bolt to a race course called Moonee Valley and go and see her. And bolt we did. It was like the amazing race trying to get there on time. And we saw her run, and it was pretty amazing.
Now, she was a sprinter.
Yeah, I don't think she ran much over what would be 1100 or 1200 meters in Australia.
Yep. So, that would be what we would refer to as a sprint.
Yeah, absolute sprinter. Yeah. She's got a sprinter's ass, that's for sure. she's a big girl.
Well, that's great. Well, congratulations to Black Caviar.
Yeah.
On her new baby. So what else is going on down there in Australia?
Well, spring has sprung. My life on a dressage arena is spent holding a whip over my head most places at the moment so I don't get dive bombed from magpies. Do you have magpies over there?
No, not like you do.
Angry, angry, angry birds.
No, we do not. And did you just turn spring yesterday or the day before?
September, beginning of September.
Oh, beginning
I think.
Of September. Okay, because we just turned into autumn, fall yesterday.
Okay, Yeah, crazy weather, lots of, you know, beautiful mornings, then some hail in the afternoon, which is a bit of a feature of Melbourne in particular. They say, you know, four seasons in one day is Melbourne. But, angry birds and all of the angry things are coming out. All the snakes are waking up, coming out of hibernation, and the birds are dive bombing you. And actually, if you want to go to my remote coach Facebook page, there's some footage of poor Em trying to have a lesson with a bird dive bombing her.
Well, look, they're desensitized, right?
Pretty much.
And now last month we talked about the kangaroo attacks. Now this month it's birds. It's a dangerous place, Australia.
It is a really dangerous place. and Melbourne has just had their, we've just wrapped up our big agricultural show, so the Royal Melbourne Show, and last week we had the biggest turn. Well, I guess it's probably the biggest turnout event in the country. A class called the Gary Owen, where horses are judged on their manners and paces, and there's a big costume element to it, and it really is, you're gone over with an absolute fine-toothed comb, and there's specific pieces of clothing you need to wear, and they actually live streamed it, so I got to sit at home and watch it. I didn't even have to go out to the showgrounds. It was great.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so everything, it's spring, everything's waking up, everyone's pulling their horses in and getting the coats out and all of those fun things.
Well, I know also you last week that you did a webinar and that you have another one coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we do. Another webinar on Thursday the 8th at 8 p.m. Australian time. So it's probably not going to work so well for your American listeners, but if you do go in and register, you'll be forwarded a replay on it. So you'll still get to see that. And it's a webinar to do with my new product, which is hashtag Get Confident. And we do a SWOT analysis. So a SWOT analysis, many of you may know from business purposes, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And we use that to get a really good look at where you are with your riding right now, with a view to pinpointing some of those confidence areas you may have. And we had a great time last week. Once we got the chat working, as I mentioned in my daily Winnie, there were a few moments of a little bit of tension going on. But once we got the chat up, it was fantastic because I could see people responding to me in real time and help them out and give them answers. And it was fantastic to hear, you know, what challenges people are having. So lots of fun.
Now, do they tend to open up in the webinars?
I think it's something also maybe a little bit about, you know, you're, I guess, faceless, except for me, but, you know, faceless on there, and people did open up, and, you know, I'm often surprised by what people feel like they're able to share, and plus you're in a group of people who really do get it. You know, there's no one there saying, I don't understand why you feel nervous about doing X, Y, or Z. You know, everyone gets it. They've all been there. So very like-minded group of people. And it was great fun. That was the first webinar I'd ever done. So I'm hoping the next one, I won't be as nervous for sure.
Were you stressed in your stress webinar?
Oh, Glenn, you've got no idea. Because once we sorted out the technical glitches, my cats came upstairs and started fighting.
We've had that happen on the show before.
Yeah. Oh, and then once one went away, the crazy cat lived up to her name, and I had banners behind me, and she was in behind there playing, and I was going, oh, one of these are about to fall on my head. But, you know, you've got to keep calm and look like it's all under control. So, yeah, I think the cats might be locked somewhere for the next one.
All right, give everybody the address again if they want to sign up and if they want to check it out.
You go to the website at www.remote-coach.com or through the Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/remotecoach.
Well, before we get to our next guest, I would love to play a little video that they have that kind of explains what the Living Legends are and what the company or what the organization is all about. So let's take a listen to that, and then we'll go to our guest.
Hi, I'm Andrew Clark. I'm the CEO at Living Legends, based here in Hume City. I've been working here for approximately 6 years. Yes, Living Legends is really a showcase for the legends of the turf. It's a place where the retired racehorses go, and there's the opportunity for fans to get up close to and pat their champion, pat a Melbourne Cup winner, a Cox Plate winner, the great winners of the historic races in Australia. But, you know, we've got one of the most historic thoroughbred properties in the Southern Hemisphere. We've got a homestead where you can come in for Devonshire teas, host your functions and events, where Burke and Wills have been. We're surrounded by 1,700 acres of parkland. You know, there's kangaroos, there's birds, and all of this right over the back fence from Melbourne Airport, so you can spot planes as well. Yeah, some of the great things to see and do near Living Legends are actually in Woodlands Historic Homestead and Park, which surrounds the property. So you've got the remains of the Dundonald, the Cumberland homesteads. There's up on the granite rocks, you've got great views across Melbourne. You can bike ride to and from the Docklands without actually going onto any roads. There's horse riding, running, walking, and all this among the historic red gums and kangaroos. Now, when we have friends and family coming to visit, we know we're only 25 to 30 minutes from the centre of the city, 5 minutes from Melbourne Airport. So we focus on nature and heritage, really. So we come to the homestead, enjoy the horses, then we'll go on to, say, the Emu Bottom wetlands, enjoy the walks, the picnic opportunities there, go on to some of the wineries, pop in and see the Alistair Clark Rose Garden. So our focus in Hume is very much on the history, the heritage and the nature walks.
Welcome, Andrew Clark from Living Legends. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
It's a pleasure, Fiona and Gwen.
So it's spring carnival time in Melbourne. All the big races are happening. It's pretty exciting. The flowers, the roses in particular, are all out at Flemington. Who are your big draw cards out there at the moment, Andrew?
Yeah, well, it's our busy time of year, obviously. Big focus on the Melbourne Cup winners. So, if we look at our Cup winners, we've got Might and Power, Brew, Rogan Josh and Efficient. So they're very, very, the big draw cards, I guess. Focus also Cox Plate. We've got Fields of Omar, who raced in 5 Cox Plates and won 2. Really, he made the race his own. And then, of course,
There wasn't a dry eye in that members stand when Fields of Omar won that last Cox Plate. I was privileged enough to be there, and it was quite something. I've got a big soft spot for that horse.
Oh, and it was an amazing win. He came from, it was one of the biggest wins, really, when you look at where he came from. He came from last around the turn to run past them.
And then, of course, and it's a short straight there too.
Very, very short straight, very short straight.
I got to tell you, there's a name that we recognize up here in the United States, and that's Apache Cat.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And he's one of our very, very popular horses. Champion sprinter, I guess we call him, he's Phantom of the Opera here. A lot of people are very surprised to see him because he's only got the half-white face. A lot of people thought he was a Hereford, with a full white face. But most photos are taken from his white side, and then he also raced with the white blinkers on. So there's a lot of people are very surprised about him, but, he's got the different markings. He's got that sort of stand-up attitude, or self-confidence.
We had heard rumors that he's a little bit of a handful.
He's not too bad to handle at all. I guess he's softened a little bit with age. He shares
don't we all?
Rogan Josh. And Rogan Josh was one of Bart's horses. And, Rogan Josh, a lot of Rogan Josh was very, very patient with kids, and a lot of that's rubbed off on Patch as well. So I guess he's still got that attitude. You get an audience. When he's finished, he'll walk away sort of thing, but he's still very much a crowd favourite.
Oh, great.
I think the other thing with any of these horses that have performed at that really elite level, they certainly don't ever lose that. And I'm good friends with Jen Mainland, who you'd know, Andrew, and yes. Every year there's at least one photo of Jen's feet off the ground in that Melbourne Cup parade hanging on to Might and Power.
That's it. And he's 22. He still runs around the paddock so fast, he will scare you. He has just got that, that I run attitude. But again, amazing character because he is a Zabeel, and Zabeels have all got that little bit of, as we say, Aussie mongrel in them, but he can be so gentle with kids, with people in wheelchairs. He's very gentle. Most ladies he's terrific with, but if he finds a bloke that he doesn't like, he'll put the ears back very, very quickly. So he's got the X factor, but, we'll be taking him in a few weeks to a nursing home. So he'll parade down that Swanson Street, and we'll go to the race meetings, and we'll go to the MCG and do those public parades, which are a lot of fun. But we do a lot of work too with handicapped people, with seniors, with school groups, and I guess that's the other really important part about the work we do.
And that's what I wanted to mention to you. When I was reading through the information you sent through to me, I hadn't realised. I think I'd seen some images of Fields of Omar in a nursing home in Tasmania and sort of went, oh, that'll be me when I'm 90, patting the nice horse. But I hadn't realised how much work you do in that area. So you, the horses go out to the nursing homes and to people with disabilities. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we take the horses out on the road. We'd love to do more of that, actually, but it's not an inexpensive thing. So we're actually looking for a Ute sponsor for some help there. But the work that we do, these horses have had a lot of experience. They're great horses, and we take them into these situations. And I guess for a lot of seniors, especially, they grew up with horses, so they love having the pat of a horse on their hands again, or the smell of the horse. And it's also very special for them. Often we'll bring along a Melbourne Cup if we can get one, or a Cox Plate. So there's a lot of very fond memories there. With kids, there's a couple of projects we do where we have some kids that have been through some pretty rough times. And Better Loosen Up's our go-to horse there. You know, these kids are, if you haven't been near a horse, it's a fairly daunting experience, you know, and you've got to be a little bit brave, and you expose yourself very much. And I remember we had one little fellow in, and when he came, he went to feed Better Loosen Up a carrot, and he practically threw the carrot at Better Loosen Up. But by the end of the day, he was patting Better Loosen Up. And when they did the little thank you notes, and this little fellow did a rough picture of a dark horse, and he wrote around that I liked Better Loosen Up best of all because he told me secrets. Now, this little fellow had some of the darkest secrets on earth. He'd had some terrible abuse situations, and yet in one day he just got that level of comfort with the horse, you know. So those are the sort of things that are very, very rewarding, and I guess that, you know, it's the spring carnival, the going out's a lot of fun, but a lot of this other work that we do in the background's even more rewarding.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, being privileged enough to witness that sort of thing, that really must be amazing. And it's great to know that you're doing that, because you are a charitable organisation, aren't you? You're on the grounds of Woodlands Homestead?
Yeah, Woodlands Homestead and Park. It's 1,700 acres of parkland here, but we have a lease on 170 acres, which was the original farming land that was cleared back in the 1840s. And what's very interesting, and we didn't realise this when we first started, but this is one of the most historic thoroughbred properties in the Southern Hemisphere. The very paddocks that our horses are in today, some of the very first thoroughbred races in Victoria were held. The Hiskin Steeple began as a point-to-point here. The owners, of the private owners along the way, had racehorses. Chafee was one of them. So some very famous families have been involved in racing. So there's a wonderful history here of horse racing. Very special property. You know, we're sort of 10 minutes door-to-door from Melbourne Airport. So it's quite a special property. But you're right, we are a charity. We do have to work hard to get our funding. We have no base funding, so we have to raise around about $500,000 a year in cash for the operation.
Yeah, well, you're feeding a lot of horses, and as you said earlier, getting them from point A to point B to do this fantastic work comes at a cost as well. Now, you can go out to Wildwood. Tell me a little, Woodlands. You can go out and have a picnic and all of that sort of thing.
Fiona, what's Woodlands?
Yeah, sure. Woodlands Estate is where the Living Legends are.
Okay.
Woodlands Homestead,
gotcha.
Sorry.
Gotcha.
But you can, I have to actually very embarrassingly admit that whilst I drive past it probably once a week, I haven't actually had a chance to go in, and I'm going to rectify that in the next month, I promise.
Yeah, well, pick a nice weather day. But it's a wonderful, it's a very large homestead. We've got the original outbuildings, we've got chicken houses, we've actually got some chickens here, we've only just got the chickens in, but it's going to be an important part of the thing with the kids. So it's a
and
wonderful
kangaroos, I see.
Kangaroos. Glenn's so excited.
Well, you know what? We all love kangaroos up here. You guys don't like them as much as we seem to, because we don't have them. So, but I see a wild kangaroo tours.
Yeah, we've got in the park, there's 1,700 acres, and we've got over 1,500 kangaroos in the park. So, and this is right next door to Melbourne Airport, so literally it's under 10 minutes. So if we pick someone up from arrivals, you'll be over here in less than 10 minutes, and we can guarantee you will see a kangaroo in the wild. In fact, we tell visitors that every visitor gets a free kangaroo. All they've got to do is catch it and put it in their car. And then we tell the kids the secret is you've got to grab them around the waist and pull them into the car. The rookie mistake is someone who catches a kangaroo and tries to push it head first into the car, because it doesn't happen. But anyway, we have a lot of fun with that, but it's just amazing the number of people we get who visit us. Often English people, they arrive at the airport to fly back home, and they've been in Australia 4 weeks or 6 weeks. They've driven over half of Australia.
They never saw a kangaroo, right?
They come here, yep. And the first time they see what kangaroos in the wild is 10 minutes from the airport before they fly off home.
We had some friends that have been down there, and I've been watching their pictures and everything, and they kept posting, "I haven't seen a kangaroo yet." So yeah. So
have a look on our Facebook. There's a lovely video just been done. It's a post from last week, but it was Krista, and she's got this. She's a singer. She's got this new album out, but she's just done a little video clip with the horse, with Might and Power, with Efficient and Malucky Day, but she's also had a little clip on the kangaroos, so people will really get a good up-close look at the kangaroos.
We're speaking to Dr. Andrew Clark. Are you a veterinarian, Andrew?
Yes, okay. Yes. I say I'm a worn-out old vet with some worn-out old horses, but no, I'm very, very privileged,
well,
very lucky to work with these horses.
Dr. Andrew Clark, and he's of Living Legends, and of course we're in our Australian edition here of Horses in the Morning. How do you decide which horses come there? Now, by the way, we have kind of a version of what you do up here called Best Friends. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Wonderful, wonderful organization. Very, very successful.
And he has a couple hundred retired racehorses, brings them in from all over the world, especially Japan, when they're done making babies. And he'll bring them over because the Japanese have a habit of not keeping them around. So he makes sure that they have a safe home. And how do you decide which horses are going to come live with you?
Yeah, well, for us, they have to have won at least two Group 1 races. So we're looking for group winners. And I guess the other part, they do have to come with a fairly significant check because we are a charity. So, yeah, for us, we're looking for the Group 1.
Who's paying
horses.
You the check?
The owner.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it. So so these owners are really wanting to do right by their horses.
Yes, and I think the other side of it, people sort of think, well, these horses, you know, if they didn't come to us, they'd be going off to heaven or somewhere else. But it's very much not the case. I think the case in point here is we only own one horse, Bomber Bill, but all of the rest of the horses are still owned by the owners. So if an owner wasn't happy or wanted to take a horse away, for example, they could do that. So these horses all have very good homes. But if you look at, say, also Might and Power, Nick Moraitis is very happy to have the horse here. He's in the public. People can get up close. They can pat him. And, you know, I think that's the other sort of nice part about it is that historically these horses have, you know, disappeared to properties or riding horses. So people have lost the link. You know, we get people coming here. We've had visitors who backed Betaloosin up, you know, over 20 years ago, and they're still reminiscing on the victory. Or we get people that, with the Melbourne Cup, they'll date important things in their life as to who won the Melbourne Cup that year. You know, we got engaged the year Doremus won the Cup, or actually there's another story recently that the family backed Doremus and won enough money to buy their engagement ring was offered back at Doremus.
Yeah.
So you get those sort of
And I grew up in Tasmania, and the day I left Tasmania to get on the boat and go to Sydney was the day that Sub-Zero won the Melbourne Cup, and that's the only way I know the date I left Tasmania.
Exactly, and there's so many people that put those important milestones in their life around the Melbourne Cup.
And I think that, you know, I do think that's important. I know it's a very popular part of our Kentucky Horse Park is the area with all the legends and the champions. And, you know, who doesn't want to go meet, you know, have a chance to meet the legendary horses? John Henry used to be there. And, you know, they just had a tour, a farm tour in Kentucky where people got to see Zenyatta and things like that. So, you know, I just think that's important. You're absolutely right, and it's really, 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 really good for a sport that's having some trouble in many places. So,
I think it's very important. I think, and the other part about the property here is that the people get to see the horses and their personalities. You know, these horses have won great races and they've won, you know, big amounts of money. But the thing that fascinates a lot of the visitors, what are the horses' personalities? What's their daily routine? Those type of things. And we see those personalities come out very strongly. You know, by and large, the Zabeels have got that little bit of larrikin in them. Well, I must say, Malucky Day is a, you know, very gentle horse. You get Betaloosin Up, who's just so relaxed and laid back. So they see horses not at the track and all hyped up. They see horses that are quite relaxed, that enjoy company, enjoy a routine, and they still get to see the individual personality. So I think that's an important part of it as well.
And I guess for your average punter, that makes it be not just about, I guess, how fast it runs. You know, they become, as you say, personalities, not just a number that you bet on.
Yes, exactly. Very much so.
Yeah.
Can I interrupt here quick? You keep using the term, is it Zabeels?
Oh, Zabeel, yes.
What's that?
Zabeel is the sire. He's a sire from New Zealand of champion stayers. And, you know, we've got Might and Power here who won a Melbourne Cup by Zabeel. We've got Efficient here who won a Melbourne Cup by Zabeel.
Okay.
We've got Malucky Day who was second in a Melbourne Cup by Zabeel. We've got Zavit who won a whole lot of races, and they're by Zabeel. Now, a lot of the very good Zabeels have got a little bit of larrikin, or as we say in Australia, a little bit of mongrel. You know, they'll give you a nip. They've just got that little bit of mischief in their system.
Zabeel was a Sir Tristram horse?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So he was well known for being fairly challenging. Yes. aggressive, challenging. Yes, he wasn't necessarily the nicest horse.
Yeah. Hey, we're all horse people here. We know what you're talking about.
I remember when I flew back from Hong Kong with Silent Witness, and there were five other horses on the plane, and there was a groom from New Zealand who does the trip back and forth. And there was one horse just when we loaded them up, etc., and it was just being a little bit niggly and carrying on, you know, and the New Zealand fellow said, "I bet you this horse is by Zabeel." Halfway through the flight, he, you know, the horse was still being a little bit niggly, and he flicked through and pulled out the papers. I knew it, by Zabeel, you know, and it was just that sort of moment of I can pick Zabeels a mile off from their attitude.
Yeah, and I mean, he was a very, very prolific stallion, as was obviously Sir Tristram. So there's a lot of horses out there with that blood running through their veins, that's for sure.
Well, we've got
Brew. He was by the 2000 Cup winner. He was by Sir Tristram. And interestingly, Brew tried out for the police force when he retired, and he failed police academy. He pig-rooted across one of our main streets and nearly pushed another horse into a tram at one stage. So he's got that little bit of X factor. Now, we can take him anywhere, actually, now. He's very relaxed with. Kieran McAvoy walked him into a bar a couple of years ago down at Docklands in Victoria. So, you know, he's got that. He did try out for the police force and failed. We've got a couple of others that were in the Chief De Beers was in the police force.
Well, apparently there just wasn't enough beer or ale in the police department. You know, he needs that.
Exactly.
He needs that little bit of a topper there.
Yeah, well, and there was an absolute tip when he won the Cup, because it was the last Foster's Melbourne Cup. It was the last Melbourne Cup sponsored by Foster's, and a horse called Brew won it. So we get quite a few visitors, and blokes especially, they say, well, you know, they backed him for no other reason, not the form, not for the way he looked, just because of his name, and it was the last
sponsored
Foster's
by
Melbourne.
A beer company.
And does he like Foster's, or haven't we checked?
Oh, no, we checked. He did. He actually turned his nose up at it a little bit at the bar. He did give it a try, and there's some wonderful pictures from when we did this a couple of years ago. But, yeah, he was very happy to walk into the bar and give it a try.
Well, this has been fun. The website is livinglegends.org.au, livinglegends.org.au. Now you're on my bucket list of things to do when I come to Australia.
Yeah, and we're 10 minutes door-to-door from Melbourne Airport, so just remember that.
Okay.
Glenn, you can be wrangling a kangaroo.
I could be wrangling a kangaroo into my car, and now I know the trick. I know the trick now.
Yeah, you've got to pull them in. Don't do the rookie mistake and try to push them in.
Oh, let me know the time and date, Glenn. I'll be there.
Yeah, with
the
video camera.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Straight to YouTube.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks so much.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Fiona.
Today's show is sponsored by Bitbank Australia, and I spoke about Bitbank Australia last month about, and I think I stated that all they stock is bits. Well, made a little bit of a mistake there. Uh-oh. Because they also stock the Michelin bridles. Have you heard about the Michelin bridles?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The bitless bridles.
Well, so they're a multi-bridle. And they actually won the 2008 Beta Award, the Innovation Award, which I'm thinking is a pretty cool thing to have won.
Yes.
Yeah. But the bridle, it has three uses. So you can use it as a lunging cavesson with the multi-bridle, a bitless bridle or a bitted bridle. So you don't have to be messing around with changing gear. And it's, as you'd know, they're ergonomically designed. So there's no pressure points on particularly those exit points of facial nerves and things like that. The headpiece is specifically designed to be super duper comfortable and just with one large piece of leather without cavesses and other bits and pieces going through there. And it also has what I really like about it is clips that lift the bit a little bit in the mouth so that it keeps the bit secure, so that if the rider becomes unsteady and pulls down, it's not giving tongue and bar pressure. Now, those clips aren't able to be used in competition, I don't think, but they are super for schooling, particularly with a rider who might be a little bit unstable. So they're fantastic. I was on the stand with Bitbank at our big trade show last year, and these were just walking out the door. And the even more cool thing about the Michelin bridles now is that they come in bling. You can get ones with sparkle on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the competition bridle doesn't have the cavesson adjustment on it, the cavesson ring on there. So you can get the competition bridle with sparkles across the headband and I think maybe even the noseband. But they're fantastic bridles. So as well as stocking every bit you've ever known about, Charmaine has the Michelin bridles as well, all at Bitbank Australia.
bitbankaustralia.com.au. Well, next we're going to do our song of the day, and this ties into our next guest. Tell us a little bit about it.
It sure does. Ali Cook is a New Zealand singer-songwriter, and I first met Ali in Kununurra, which is about as far north as you can go in Western Australia, where we were judging the Kununurra show together, but then Ali was also playing overnight. So I got to sit around and drink beer once I'd done my job, and she had to go and frock up and do another job. But she's fantastic. She's fantastic fun. I can't wait to talk to her. And this new single, Midnight Cowboys, is off the album Horseshoe Rodeo Hotel, which has recently been released and we'll be hearing all about after this song.
Ate the flies and all is well. Can't seem to make the dark. darkness bright. Stakes stand united on the right. Burnouts and bacon hoops. Wagon circles, stars and loops. Satellites across the sky. Checking in on everybody's life. Could have been thin or wide. Could have even turned the tide.
Well, that was Midnight Cowboys by Allie Cook. You can find all of her music at alliecook.com. That's A-L-Y-Cook.com. And she's coming up. We're going to talk to her in a minute. But first, we have to remind you that you're listening to the Australian edition of Horses in the Morning with Fiona Deering. And I'm Glenn the Geek. And Fiona is of Remote Coach. Tell us really quickly about Remote Coach.
Remote Coach is pretty much as the name implies, having a coach when you don't have a coach right there beside you. So I provide both online courses and short, well, 40, 45 minute audio downloads that you can ride along with. And many people say the bonus is they can turn me off when they get sick of me. So yay for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that say that about me too. So we're in good company there.
Yeah. But they're MP3 files that you can download onto your phone and ride along with. They're basic training patterns. There are some on transitions, some on serpentine, some on dressage tests, all those sorts of things. And for that recreational rider, lots of work on your riding position, how your horse is traveling, interesting patterns, just ideas to have for when you don't have any ideas on that particular day. And even better for the American listeners, they're all priced under Australian $10, which is basically free for you given the current exchange rate.
Yeah, right now, if we're going to travel, traveling to Australia is a good bet right now.
Sure is.
Of course, that's remotecoach.com. Well, our next guest is Allie Cook. We just heard her music, and why don't you introduce her?
Allie she's a powerhouse. She's an independent country music artist. She's constantly touring, a social media guru. She's a publicist, a promoter, and she's also, despite being from New Zealand, a passionate advocate for remote Indigenous communities in Australia. And on top of all of that, she's a horsewoman. So she's fantastic. Hi, Allie. How are you going?
I'm good, thanks, Fee. It's nice to talk to you.
I know, it's been too long. Now, we just played the new single, Midnight Cowboy. Love it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's the only song that on this album that's not written by me. It's written by my producer, Alan Jansen, and Brent Haywood, who painted the cover of my album. You may remember a hit called How Bizarre, which went number one all over the world, and he is the person that wrote and produced that for the OMC.
Cool.
Yeah, and so he's written that song, and it's kind of where the title of the album comes from, a line in that song. Yeah.
Great. And I just feel tired every time I look at your Facebook page. You're clocking up the frequent flyer points this year, yeah? You've been touring all over the world with this new album.
I have been. Yep, I've been over and done. I've been over in Australia several times, but I've been across to Europe and played in Italy and Poland and Germany and Spain and Norway. And yeah, so it's been a really good journey.
While you're on that topic, do you have a place overseas that's your favorite place to play?
Well, lots of them. I love Norway, actually. And from a horsey perspective, that was pretty interesting up there, too.
Well, they're really into their horses too. It's a cultural thing there.
And also you get to see all those interesting breeds over there. I got to see Fjord ponies for the first time and stuff. They were right on the property where I was, which was cool. They've got that sort of hogged, stick-up mane kind of Cremello.
Yeah.
They're really groovy little ponies, very chunky, like very, you know, well-built.
Yeah, little draft ponies. They're a lot of fun. We have a lot of those here in the United States.
Right, okay.
Yeah, they're fun.
So Ali and I first met in Kununurra, which, as I said earlier, is about as far north as you can go in Western Australia. And we were judging together, which we had heaps of fun doing, didn't we?
We did. We were the joint judging twins, yes, and it was a lot of fun being up there in Kununurra. It's a special place.
It's a very special place, and I think, you know, both of us have picked up a bit of what they call in Australia the red dust in our veins. We both were able to get out into country, and in fact, you ended up doing a video for one of your songs and doing stuff in helicopters and flying over the amazing country, yeah?
I did. And remember that lovely Cremello mare?
Yes.
She's actually in the video.
I saw her. I thought I recognised her.
I gained a new respect for the rider when I had to ride her myself. Quite funny. But, yeah, no, it is definitely red dust in your veins up there in Kununurra. It's a special kind of very ancient sort of land. And very harsh, you know. Having horses up there would be no easy work at the sort of opposite side of the season to when we were there, I would imagine.
Now, I want to jump in here real quick, because this is a part that we here in the United States don't hear much about. But in your introduction, she said you're a passionate advocate for remote Indigenous communities in Australia. Tell us about that.
So I work with an outfit called Uncle Jimmy Thumbs Up. And I work with an outfit called Uncle Jimmy Thumbs Up.
Okay.
And Thumbs Up is a program which goes in and works with Indigenous children using music. And the kids that, you know, there's some pretty sort of poor kids in the Aboriginal kind of world up there. And there's a lot of, you know, drug problems and things like that and unhealthy eating. And so the Uncle Jimmy Thumbs Up is all about encouraging healthy eating and doing that through the medium of music. So I go up there a wee bit and help the Uncle Jimmy or Jimmy Little Foundation, which Jimmy Little, just to explain, was sort of like one of the most famous Aboriginal kind of crooning singers, performers, entertainers. And he was very respected amongst both Indigenous and Caucasian communities in Australia. So the Jimmy Little Foundation is something that was set up to carry on the work that he did in working with Indigenous kids and making a better life for his people. Yeah.
Are all the Indigenous peoples there Aboriginals or not?
Yes.
Yes. Well, yeah. Aboriginals, just to explain, the Indigenous people of Australia are basically the oldest race of Indigenous people on Earth. So they are, you know, as close to the first origins of man, if you like. So it's pretty special. And I think that there's room for improvement in the way their life is there. And I'm being diplomatic here.
Both Ali and I have had a chance to get out into remote communities. I was also able to get out into very remote communities when I was up there. And it's certainly not always pretty, I think is probably the most diplomatic way to put it.
The thing is that it's, you know, the poverty, they refer to Australia as the lucky country, but by crikey, what I've seen is not very lucky at all. So, I mean, the poverty was shocking when I went into Uluru, which is what you guys would know as Ayers Rock over there, the big rock that's in the middle of Australia. There's a community there called Mutazulu, and it's very poor. It's very full of poverty and... Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing I think we have over here with our Native American Indians who live on the reservations. It's
that's what the Australians do with them as well, sort of round them up and put them in one area. And It's pretty much the same. Out there going into Mutijulu, you would think you were walking into a reservation in the States.
What solved a little bit of the problem for us over here is letting them open casinos and just taking all our money. So there you go. There's a solution for you.
I don't know if that's the right. I don't know if that's the right solution, but I've often thought that actually it's the education of the white population that needs to happen rather than the education of the black population.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah,
it's actually people being more understanding, being more culturally sensitive. And I come from New Zealand, which is quite a bit of a mile away. Apart from being a few miles away from Australia, is a mile away, and it's an indigenous culture side. I think not everybody gets it right, and white people did sort of run around the world and conquer all. But here we've managed to embrace our indigenous culture a lot more. Māori is something that is spoken in schools. My little white Caucasian children would know at least 30 to 40 Māori words, which are used in everyday language. Our news presenters at night go, kia ora, you know, they greet the nation in Māori. Our rugby team, which is the pride of our nation, the All Blacks, they perform the haka every single international rugby match that happens. So we've sort of embraced our culture.
Yeah. It's much more integrated in New Zealand.
Yeah. And that helps to break the social problems down a bit. Because kids aren't born that way. You know, kids only form that opinion from what they're taught. And here the kids are taught Māori as well as English, and to have, you know, they can all come and do a official, what we call a pōwhiri, which is an official Māori welcome. Like, most kids would learn that at school. Most boys would learn the haka at school. Everybody knows the haka because everybody watches it before the rugby matches, and the rugby matches are kind of like your gridiron is like our rugby.
Right.
So it's like everybody watches it. And so
less padding.
And everybody knows.
Less padding, right. Exactly. More bloody noses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our rugby is more like, you know, no padding, and like the only padding is the muscle on the guys, you know?
Yep. I think there's a reason that rugby is very popular with women where you are. It's because they are wearing less padding. You can actually see the muscles. See, football over here, they're all covered. You can't see them. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You know, our footballers, our rugby players are much loved people over here in New Zealand. But on a cultural front, they do a lot too for making things better.
You said you two were together at a horse show. So tell us a little bit about what you do with horses, Ellie.
So my background in horses is I came up through the sort of pony club years. I did my A&H certificate over here. I don't know if you have a certificate system there. Yep. You know, became a pony club head instructor, did all of that sort of side of it, had competitive horses. And I'm not riding so much now. I had a back injury which sort of prevented me from riding. So I just have a stallion and a couple of brood mares out in the paddock, and I might get one foal every couple of years now because my life's more in kind of music now. But I was seriously riding and seriously bringing on horses and selling them, working with other young people.
You were jumping, weren't you, Ellie?
Show jumping. So I sold, I've sold a number of show jumpers. I sold a show jumper off to the King of Bahrain in 2009. That was kind of at the end of what I was doing. But I've always had an interest in eventing and show jumping and dressage all across the board. I think we as Kiwis, and I think that's why we're so good at eventing in the world, is that we do have that cross-section where everybody does everything. So every pony club.
The Kiwis have been kicking butt in England lately.
We have for a number of years on and off, but I think it's that thing that it's from that good old pony club upbringing where everybody does everything. So all of the kids will do show hunter classes, they'll all do dressage classes, they'll all do show jumping, and they'll all do eventing, and then they'll branch off into what becomes their forte, you know.
I went over in March, Ali, and had a trade stand at the Horse of the Year show, which in Hastings, which I'm sure, oh my Lord, that show is massive. Okay. I've never seen such a big show. It was fantastic. And I don't think I've spoken to you since then, but the Kiwis will understand this. I had my flight was delayed by a couple of hours, and I was driving from Auckland over to Hastings, so across the North Island.
Yes.
And
right.
So my flight was delayed and I got into Taupo about just on dusk, about 8 p.m. And I went, oh, I feel pretty good. I'll keep going. And I drove the Taupo Napier Road in the dark and the rain. It was right after Cyclone Pam had gone through. And I got into Hastings at 11 o'clock at night. I thought I was going to die. And I was practically a local. They lauded me like a hero. They couldn't believe I'd done it. Apparently no one drives that road in the dark, but no one told me.
And that's the thing with New Zealand, the distances, and I find that going between Australia and New Zealand is the distances in Australia look, in New Zealand, they look like a short distance, but when you're actually on the road, it's small, narrow, winding roads, cliffs, you know, it's like, it's not like
big stretch of highway
or anything.
You
didn't have a horse float on, did you?
I didn't have headlights that were very good on the hire car, just quietly. There were moments where the only way I could see where the road went was on the GPS.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And my mum's texting me going, have you made it yet? I'm like, I can't reply to that because I think I'm going to die. I do a lot of driving and I've never been so scared in all my life.
You wouldn't have seen the sudden drop down next to you being in the dark.
Well, when I drove back over it in the daylight the following week, I think that was almost scarier, seeing all those sudden drops. It was, it's Lord of the Rings territory.
Oh, there. Now, that's something that we can understand.
I drove. I drove through Mordor, Glenn.
He did. She did. She drove around the edge of Mordor. That's pretty much what she did going on that road.
Boy, is that beautiful country, though.
They all told me that I'm a Kiwi now.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you've been indoctrinated now.
Sure.
You survived.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so a heads up would have been good from someone in your country.
So did you when you got there, did you enjoy watching the show and what did you think of the level of the horses and things when you were watching the competition?
What was really interesting is I got one of the cheaper trade stands, which was fantastic because I was on the edge of that second big jumping arena and that was where they ran all their juniors. And what I was going to say before my terrifying driving story was, you know, they're putting their juniors over meter 25 courses on these ponies that look like, you know, some of them look like they'd come down from the back of the bush last week. And they were fantastic. You know, there were classes of 30 and 40 juniors over these meter 25 fences on ponies and they jumped all week and it was fantastic. I was really impressed by the standard. But as you said, they all do everything.
You'll see the same kids will be out riding show hunter that are riding show jumping. There's no it sort of reminds me actually, I'll just say to Glenn because this is funny. I partnered with an American show jumping rider who came over here to live and I took her because we have dressage and local show jumping and stuff and she was show jumping only. But riding, you know, she would have my horse doing flying changes every two paces and, you know, like doing the whole thing. She'd come through show hunter. She jumped at Grand Prix level in the States. Anyway, we turned up to what was supposed to be a show jumping day and I got the date wrong and it was a dressage day instead. And I said to her, oh, and we went in the office. And I said, is the show jumping group not on this afternoon? And they said, oh, no, it's only dressage today. And I said, oh, it's all right, Brittany. I said, do you want to write a dressage test? I'll read it for you, you know, like a 20-meter circle. And she went, hey. Where is A?
Yeah, our show jumpers don't do a lot of dressage.
And I mean, you mean to tell me you've never been in a dressage ring as a kid? And she went, no. Like, okay. And you ride my horse in flying changes up the ring every two strides. Like, so, and you're doing shoulder in and you're doing everything. And you don't know where A is in a dressage ring. And she said, no.
See, a lot of those show jumping kids.
And I said, A is by the gate, love.
A lot of those show jumping kids did not come up through Pony Club. More of the eventers come up through Pony Club, but not on the show jumping side.
I got quite a shock to see somebody that could ride that well at show jumping level have no idea what the letters of a dressage ring were.
All right. Well, before we run out of time, talk to us a little about Horseshoe Rodeo Hotel.
Yeah, okay. So that's the new album that's out. You can get it wherever you are on iTunes. In Australia, it's in the shops and JB Hi-Fi and stuff. But if you want to get it, if you're dead set on a CD and you'd like a CD, you can always contact me through my website, which is alliecook.com, Ellie with a Y, Cook without an E. And yeah, it's just an album that I've got one American chap on it. I've got Paul Kingery from Three Dog Night. He plays on Midnight Cowboys.
Oh, really? Yeah. And the one we just listened to. Yeah.
Yep. The one you just listened to, the guitarist on there is he's actually the bass player from Three Dog Night. So we met and played in Detroit in 2006, and he was over here for a Three Dog Night concert and played on my album. So, yeah. So, you know, a lot of interesting guests on there, a good flow of music. Sort of, it's quite an eclectic collection, I would say, country through pop, rock.
And, I want to know about the song No Phone, No Mail, No Internet.
Okay. So that was written in a place called Nundah in New South Wales, which is close to a place called Tamworth, where we have the biggest country music festival. And I was doing a songwriting seminar, and we were watching, and it was very remote, and so all these songwriters were stuck on this very remote sheep station that's been done up as a beautiful accommodation outfit. So we're all staying there, and they're all standing on one leg out there trying to get a message away, and Alan Caswell, who's a very famous Australian writer, and myself were laughing at these young people trying to make a message get away because they felt very stuck with no internet, no phone, and that's how the song came about, and we were in this beautiful place, and so that's how we wrote the song.
Let's just hear a couple seconds. I got to hear a couple seconds of this, because that's the title that really jumped out at me, because I would basically be no phone, no mail, no internet, no life. See that? Because that's my life. So let's take a listen. See if I can get it to of course, it's not going to play for me right now. iTunes is not cooperating. Oh, there we go.
Song as we wait, the perfect start to a perfect day, making memories we know we won't forget.
You could make memories if there's no phone, no mail, and no internet, depending who you're with.
Yeah.
No internet, no phone. Or it could be a nightmare, one or the other.
Either way, memories.
That's right. That's true. It's memories either way. Well, I found it on iTunes. It's called Horseshoe Rodeo Hotel. Just do a search for that. We'll put a link to it in our show notes as well. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
It's been excellent chatting, and nice to talk to you again, Fiona.
Yes, we'll have to meet in Kununurra again soon. Do you reckon we can get another judging gig?
Oh, I hope so. We might have to see what our mutual friend up there can do.
Talk to the right people.
That's the one.
AllieCook.com, AllieCook.com. Well, we still have time for our horse tip. What do you have for us this month?
Well, I think this month will be something that riding coaches around the world may well scream yes at when I say. It's just two words. Look up. And that applies to you drivers as well, Glenn. You've got to look where you're going. If you are sitting, just everyone now, pop your finger at the base of your skull and bring the finger around to the front of your face. Now, the base of your skull, that's where that C1 vertebra starts or finishes, depending which way you're going up your spine. That's level with your eye. So if you're looking down, there's the weight of your head, which is, you know, somewhere between 6 and 8 kilos, pulling on those top cervical vertebra, which posturally isn't great anyway. But we don't want to be, you know, where your eyes go is where your energy goes. So we want to be looking up where we're going on our horses. And jumpers know this all the time. You can't ride around looking at the ground on a jumper because, you know, the jumps won't happen.
Because you will be on the ground.
Well, that too.
That's where you'll end up.
Yeah. So, you know, look up, and I'll send you through a link, Glenn, to a short free audio download I have about why it's so useful for us to look up. And, you know, there's not a riding coach out there that hasn't had to yell, if his ears or his head falls off, I'll let you know, stop looking down. Mm-hmm. So, and particularly for nervous riders, because we look down and we start to curl our whole front of our body up. And when we're not feeling great about something, you know, we want to protect ourselves. We want to curl in the ball, but not ideal when you're on a living, breathing beast.
And, you know, you mentioned drivers. We do have that because especially if you're not in competition and you're out for a drive, it's very easy to focus actually on the horse in front of you. Because it's kind of mesmerizing, right?
That's right. It's
very easy to do that rather than looking. They always say, you know, look through the horse's ears and then you're looking where he's looking. In our case, especially because we're sitting behind him like that. And then to look where you're going. Right? I mean, where are you going next?
It's like driving a car. You know, you don't want to only look as far as the bumper plate on the car in front of you, do you?
Right.
You want to be a little bit more aware. I could make a bad joke about my mother's driving here, but she might listen, so I won't. Although she did ring me up after the first show and said, oh, we had a listen to it. We listened to the first 10 or 15 minutes. How long does it go for again? So I think I'm fairly safe.
Yeah, you're safe. You're safe. My wife doesn't listen to my shows either, so we're good.
But no, I'll send you through a link for a free MP3 file for people to have a listen to about not looking down at the ground.
All right, we'll put that in our show notes as well for this episode. And, of course, you can find Fiona at
www.remote-coach.com or on Facebook under Remote Coach.
Thank you so much for bringing us some Australian content. We appreciate it. It's fascinating learning about other countries, and we have listeners all over the world, so it's nice to be international at times. And, of course, you can find all of the past episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, and we post a lot of the links to the different things we talk about. We'll put a link to Allie Cook up there today as well, and also to Living Legends. We'll put a link on our Facebook page. So that's probably the best way to keep track of us. And if you want to listen to the recorded version of this show and all 8 shows on the Horse Radio Network, the best way to do that is on the Horse Radio Network app. It's free. It's easy. iOS or Android, just go to the App Store and search for Horse Radio Network and download it. We have people from all over the world listening through the app. It's very simple. Well, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again next month, Fiona.
Absolutely. Thank you.